Good morning. If you would, go ahead and stand with us as we worship this morning.
Worthy is the Lamb who is slain, and worthy is.
you would go ahead and greet one another before you sit down.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We are in a series called Happily Ever After. So it's been fun taking a look at marriage, about kind of the expectations that people have in marriage. And we've had a good time with that the last few weeks. We're finishing up this morning by looking at parenting. And it's kind of going to be, we're going to have a fun morning. We just got back from a trip with our youth, our older youth. We took 18 teenagers, our older teenagers, to the youth camp at the beach for the week. It was a good week. One of the greatest things about youth ministry, I've always said, is that when they start getting on your nerves, you can send them home. But now two of our kids are in youth, so that's a little different for us. So we actually left our kids at the beach with their grandparents. So we've actually had a really quiet weekend. And what's going to be really nice is this morning I can talk about parenting without getting the looks and the eye rolls from my kids. So we're going to have a good time this morning, though. When you came in, you got a worship guide. Several announcements on here just to make you aware of. No youth tonight. Praising in the Park is 1 week away. This is our community-wide vacation Bible school. It's in Phelps Park. We have a number of churches come together to make this happen. We are excited about it, but we still need a lot of help. So if you have not talked with Jennifer, you don't have a place to serve yet, talk with her after the service. You'll be back at the resource table. There's places to serve with helping with food or maybe group leaders, taking kids around and handling some of the teaching. We even have people like doing almost security, like where kids are dropped off and picked up to watch there. So there's just a number of places where we're going to need help, clean up and set up every night. So it's July 20th, Sunday night through the 23rd. 6:30 to 8:30 each night. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing a county fair theme this year. So if you want to help with that, we'll get you plugged in. And also this morning, we're having a child dedication service. We didn't do it first service because all the families were here for the second service. So I'm excited about that. It's always a really special time. We're going to do this right after the worship, before my message. If you're here to take part in that, I'm excited about that. And really what a child dedication service is, it's a chance for you as parents to commit to raising your child in a godly home. And it's a chance for us as a church to commit to prayer and support for you. So we're excited about that. I mentioned first service. We had a great service talking about parenting. I stepped on my own toes while I'm preaching, which is hard to do. And I'll probably have to, like I told this the first service, I have to tell myself. We had a great week at beach with the youth. And we only made it back with one injury, and I'm having a little trouble walking and standing up. I've got a knee brace on this morning because my knee kind of gave out on me. But I've learned it's probably not a wise idea after you hit 40 years old to try to break dance, because you tend to break things when you do that. So I'm kind of limping around this morning a little bit, but there is a video out there somewhere. I hope you don't see it, but it is out there. So again, I'm just glad you're here this morning. Would you join me in prayer before we continue on? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning, for the ability to be able to come to this place, to worship you, to sing your praises. Lord, I'm thankful for this sermon series that we've been in as we've looked to the importance of family. And we've looked to the God-ordained model of the family that you've given us. And I pray for the families here in this church, for the marriages, for the children and the parents, just that you help strengthen them to be able to learn to love Jesus and to love others as you've commanded us. Lord, we thank you again. May we just sing our praises to you for what you've done in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You know, our lives are given to us in seasons. And we go through all these different seasons. And I don't think I'm the only one in here who can say that sometimes those seasons aren't very fun. And I'm thankful, so thankful that they are just seasons. We have great seasons in our life, but they pass and we go through new things. And as I was reading a devotional this week, it was talking about our worship to God and how he doesn't want our worship only when we're happy. He wants it when we're broken, when we're depressed, when we're sad. He wants all of us all the time. And it said, true worship comes from a sincere, humble heart and a broken, yielded spirit, a heart that walks in the truth, obeying God's laws out of love for him, a heart that has come to the realization that apart from God, there is no hope. He deserves our all of our hearts, all of our affection, our mind's capacity, multifaceted emotions, and physical strength. So as we stand this morning and get ready to continue in worship, you can see that we're stripped away. And sometimes it's good to be stripped away so that we can just focus on the greatness of God. All things are out of the way, and it's just us and him this morning. So go ahead and stand with us as we sing this next song. blessings flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow. Time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. Broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. Crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So
like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Jesus, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so.
Thank you, God, for loving us in the good times and the bad times. We thank you, God. Lord, I pray that you will continue to be in this service, God, that you will be with Mike as he brings the message, and that you would touch hearts in this place this morning. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
So this morning, we get to celebrate something very special here at Cornerstone. I'm excited about this. It's a chance for us as a church to be able to pray for and encourage some of these young children and for the families that are involved. And what better day to do it than a morning where we're talking about the family and we're talking about parenting. So I am excited about that. I've been able to spend a week with our older youth at camp, and I was able to watch them grow in their faith and their obedience to Christ. And one thing was evident, that we have many godly families in this church. We have many families who are bringing their children up in a way where they learn to love Jesus and walk after him. And one of the things that makes me most proud about this church is to see what happens with our young adults as they, you know, leave and go to college and they continue to live for Christ and go on mission trips and serve Christ around the world. And we've seen already, since Cornerstone has started, just a tremendous blessing from our youth, from our children, and how they follow Christ. And really, the family, when we think about this, that life with God is meant to be lived out in family. And so family is a hugely important thing for us. And to this morning, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate family. It's really, when we raise our children in the Lord, it's a process. It's not just a program. It's not just an event. And so dedicating your child, it's more than just 5 minutes in front of the church. It's really a lifetime of commitment to say, I'm going to raise this child up to follow Jesus. It's a journey that lasts a lifetime. The scriptural root of a child dedication is found in 1 Samuel 1. And in 1 Samuel 1, we see where a godly woman named Hannah, she had prayed year after year for a child. And when God finally answered her prayer and she received a child, she gave birth to a son who she named Samuel. And when Samuel was born, Hannah prayed these words in 1 Samuel 1. It says, I prayed for this child. The Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And we see that example in Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament, following the birth of Jesus. We see that Mary and Joseph took the infant Jesus to the temple and they dedicated him. And so in both scripture passages, we see the parents entrust their children completely to God. And the writings of Moses in Deuteronomy 6 describe God's plan for how a parent should raise up a child. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. And so you talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And we see this pattern that raising our children, it's not just something that happens on Sunday morning. It happens every day of the week. It happens over and over again as we teach our children what it means to follow Christ. So this child dedication this morning, it's open to parents who can truthfully say, I'm going to commit myself to raising this child for God. I'm going to give my child over to God. I'm going to trust God with them. And it's really a commitment on the parents, and it's a commitment to by the church. And so what I would like to do now, I'd like to ask the parents that are here for this, if you would come forward and kind of line up across the front of the stage, all of you together. We're going to do this as a group, and it's all right if your baby cries. It's no problem. We've got several families that are here, and your children, if you would just come up to be part of this. And this is something I do take very seriously because it is a huge commitment on behalf of the parents. And I'm going to ask here in a minute as we all get up here, it also gives you a chance to introduce your families to the congregation, your babies and your children. So I'm going to ask the parents to introduce everybody. So I'll kind of start at this end while everybody else is filling in. And if you would just introduce your family and your new little guy here.
My name is Seth, and my wife's name is Larissa. We have two kids, Mackenzie and Lane, in the back row, and this is Matthew.
And how old's Matthew?
3 weeks.
I'm Alicia. This is my husband, Chris. This is our daughter, Claire Elaine, and she will be 2 in October.
We're Travis and Bonnie Haynes. This is Asher Garrison, and he'll be a year old the 30th of this month.
I'm Lucas Austin, and this is my wife, Ashley, 7-month-old Carly Ann, and Abigail, and her friend, Carly.
I'm Josh. This is Lauren Krause, and this is our daughter, Laurel. She's 2 months old.
I'm Demia. This is Chad, and our son, Jeremiah, and he turned a year old this past Wednesday.
We have a wonderful group of children up here, and isn't it great to be part of a church where you see this many babies and to see this much life and happiness and joy? And so what we're going to do now, I'm going to ask that as parents, as I go through this list, I want you to respond after each one. And if you agree, would you respond by saying we do? And I would like to ask that you now enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his people here in this place this morning. Do you today recognize these children as the gifts of God, and do you give thanks for God's blessing on your family? Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will belong wholly to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their lives? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, the love, and the strength to serve them and to not use them? Do you promise, God helping you, to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all of His promises to them, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus Christ as Lord and obey His teachings? So as a church, I want to also challenge you. We urge you as parents to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being and to teach your child to do the same. And as you love God and each other, you will model before your children Christ's wonderful love. And finally, I ask that as a church, we make a vow as well. So I'd like to ask the church to stand up. As believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel story to the younger generation. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. So I direct my questions now to the congregations. And if you agree, would you also respond by saying, we do? Make the commitment to be praying for these families, by God's help, to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help these parents to be faithful to God and to help teach and train their children in the ways of the Lord so that they might one day trust Him as Lord and Savior. Our greatest hope for our children, our greatest prayer, is that they would choose to follow Christ. And so right now I'd like to ask that we all pray and we commit this morning as parents and as a church to do everything we can to make that a reality. Would you guys pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these children. They truly are a blessing. They are wonderful to see, their smiles, their laughter, even their cry, Lord. We see that there's a dependence between the baby and the parent. And it models for us our dependence that we have upon you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that as a church that we would come together to support these families, to walk with them in the tough and when the tough times and the good times, that we would be there to encourage each other. In Hebrews, we read that we're to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And that's my prayer this morning, that we can do that as the family of Christ. I pray for these parents. Give them strength. Give them sleep. Give them the courage that they need to lead their families well. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessing that we have in this place, the blessing that you have shown us already. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen. And I have a certificate. You guys can be seated. I do have a certificate for everybody up here. So let me see if I can. I don't have them in order. So we've got several. There we go. There's you guys. Let's give all these wonderful families just a round of applause to thank them this morning. Whose name is that? It is wonderful to be in a church, and I've mentioned before, to see children running around and laughing and crying and worshiping together as families. And sometimes we don't realize how many children are in this church because they're downstairs worshiping while we're worshiping. But I want to tell you that this church is full of children, full of babies, and it is so incredible to see them learning what it means to follow after Jesus. This morning, we're talking about parenting, and you can learn a lot about parenting and about culture's view of parenting by the TV shows that are popular in each time period. And so as you go back in time and you look at different generations, the builders, the boomers, the busters, or the Generation Xers and the millennials, and you see the shows that are popular on TV, you learn a lot about that generation. Shows like the Andy Griffith Show tell a lot about family. Shows like Leave It to Beaver, you remember that one, or Happy Days. And what's amazing about those shows is you see this picture of a family where everybody's always smiling. Right? And there's so much joy, and they all get along. And if something happens, it's amazing. They can wrap it up in 15 minutes. They can get the problem figured out, solved, fixed, hug, and all move on in 15 minutes. And it's like, and move on. And we see that happen. And as I was growing up, you had shows like The Cosby Show, right? And I love, you know, watching that and the picture of a family. And you have shows now that are even very different. See, the show's now about family, and it's kind of interesting, and I've shared this before, but you watch so many shows about families and about in the sitcoms and the children, and there's kind of a predictable storyline. There's kind of a blueprint for families. And in that blueprint, what happens is that the child does something really irresponsible. The parents are completely clueless. They don't know what's going on. They don't see it coming. They don't know what's going on. And so then the child starts making excuses and starts trying to cover up everything, all the trouble that they've got in. And then by the end, and you just see them getting deeper and deeper into the mess. And then, you know, they just keep lying. They're stealing. They're doing whatever they can to cover it up. And this is just on Nickelodeon and Disney, right? And then by the end of the show, what happens is the parents find out, because the truth always comes out in the end, and they say, "Oh, it's all right. We love you anyways. Did you learn your lesson? Yes. Okay, let's hug." And they all lived happily ever after. That's kind of the parents. Have you watched some of these shows? I mean, am I on the right track here? Isn't that kind of what happens over and over again? And what makes me so mad is, like, if the kids start watching something, then they leave, I'm like sucked in and watching it to the very end. And they're like, "Dad, you're watching Disney." I know, I can't help it. But that's the storyline of all these shows that we see on TV. And the reality in real life, life doesn't work that way. When we are irresponsible, when we make poor choices, there are consequences to it. And it's not just a hug and, "Oh, it's going to be all right." Sometimes there are lifelong consequences when we don't follow God's word. And so when I talk about parenting, it's not just this little thing, "Oh, it's all right, it's all going to work out in the end." All it takes is love. We may really love our kids, but we may really be doing a disservice to them by not bringing them up, by not teaching and training them what it means to follow after Jesus. I want you to know that God has a blueprint for the family. That's really what we've been talking about the last few weeks as we've gone through Ephesians chapter 5, and we've looked at marriage, and we've looked at all this. And the blueprint is simply this: God is first. God is first, then parents, and then children. If you looked at the organizational chart of your family, that's what it looked like. Jesus is the head CEO. The parents are the managers. They're the directors. And the children, they are there to follow. But in our culture today, we flip that upside down. And so many families, the children make the decisions. The children run the home. And the children really drive the family. And then the parents kind of do what the kids want. And then they just squeeze God in wherever there's time. And that's not the way that God has called us to live. In Ephesians 5:1, which is one of the verses we read several weeks ago, we learn, okay, what does it mean to follow after Jesus here? We learn to be imitators of God as beloved children. And so right from that, we start getting this, the way we follow Jesus, He's our Heavenly Father. We're His children. We follow Him. He calls to us. He speaks to us. We respond in obedience and follow after Him. That's our model for parenting. And I want you to flip with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read this passage to you, because this is the Christian blueprint for the family. In Ephesians 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Every single time I read that, I picture Bill Cosby reading this. I don't know why. But that verse, because I picture him saying right after it, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world." You can live long, okay? And that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Either you listen to your mom and dad or it's not going to go well, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm weird like that. It keeps going though. Verse 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training, the instruction of the Lord." The New Living says, "Do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." And so we see this picture here of a family. Children obey. Parents lead. Parents train. Parents instruct. Parents love their children. And that's the model that we're called to go by. That's the model that we're called to follow. This word obey in the Greek, it's a military term. It means to follow the direction, to listen to the voice and fall under the authority of another person. And so it's like a commander. As he says, as he gives the command, everybody lines up behind him. Everybody's like, okay, we heard the order. We're moving together now. That's the picture of obedience that we have here. And that's what we're called to do, to follow. The children are called to follow their parents. Now, let me just ask you, in your experience, in your walk, and with your friends, with your family, do you see this taking place? Do you see children obeying their parents? Do you see the family structured like this? We live in a world that's messed up. Can we all agree with that? That the culture we live in, we see there, and I'll tell you, I've spent like all week with teenagers. They are wonderful. They are awesome. I love them. They have strong families. But what we see sometimes in church is not indicative of the larger culture. And even in church, we see sometimes we're not immune to problems. We see our children make bad decisions. We see them disobey. We see them hurt. And our job, and I've shared this before, and this is kind of a weird definition. But our job as parents is kind of to teach and to train our kids to leave. And for some of you, you've never really thought of parenting that way. Where did I get that from? I get it from the Bible. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man leaves his father and his mother and they is united to his wife. They become one flesh." The model for the family is you leave and you cleave, is the old terminology, right? You join together, and that word cleave is like glue. You are joined together. You become one flesh. And so we are preparing our kids to leave. And sometimes that's hard to do because we don't like to let go. We want to keep them safe. We want to keep them close. We want to protect them from danger. Reggie Joyner wrote a book, and it's called Parenting Beyond Your Capacity. A really good book. And this is what he said. He says, "We're fine if our children never climb a mountain as long as it guarantees they will never get hurt. But what if your children were made for the mountains?" Think about that for a minute. What if your children were made for the mountains and you are preventing them from going and doing and being what God has called them to be? And get this. This is in your notes here. But the ultimate mission, of your family, of the family, is not to protect your children from all harm, but to mobilize them for the mission of God. This is where we really start getting into the meat of this morning's message, where we start getting into the fact that it's not our job as parents is not to protect our kids. It's not to shelter our kids. Yes, we want them safe. Yes, we've got to teach them how to be careful and all those things. But ultimately, our job as parents is to mobilize our kids to have an impact in the kingdom of God so that they can find their place in God's kingdom. They can find their talents, their gifts, and their abilities so that they can be confident in their identity in Christ so that they know who they are and they know what God has called them to do so that they can hear God's voice and then follow after it. In Psalm 127, we see this in the Old Testament in a passage. I see this. This illustrates this purpose of parenting. And it's a Psalm of Solomon here. And it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for you to work so hard from morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones." Now get this. He says, children are a gift from the Lord. Do you agree with that? The children are a blessing. They are a gift from God. They are a reward. There are a reward from him. And get this, verse 4. "Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates." So in this passage, we see this illustration that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And let me ask you, how much good does an arrow do when it is in the quiver? No, an arrow is made to be launched. It's made to be taken out, to be loaded up into the bow, to be prepared and aimed and targeted and to pull back. And then when the time is right, to release it and to launch it towards its target. That's what a parent does with our children. We prepare them. We get them to the place where we can pull back the bow and launch them into life. as a parent. We teach, we train them to leave. We mobilize them for the kingdom of God. We send them out into the world, prepared and trained to be able to make a difference for God. And yet, that's hard to do. Yeah, it's easy to talk about, but it's so hard to do. I think one of the huge reasons it's so hard to do is we live in a world, we live in a culture where many homes, without even realizing it, we've kind of created a child-centered parenting philosophy. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to talk about four types of parents. And I really want you to think about, where do you see yourself in this? If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, do you see yourself falling into the trap of any of these four areas? Because these will prevent you from launching your child into the mission of God. All four of these are important. All four of these are dangerous. And all four of these are prevalent in our society today. The first type of parent that kind of shows off that it's a child-centered parent, it's a guilty parent. And I don't know how many of you feel guilty because you don't provide your children every opportunity that you think they need. I'll give you a great example. Back a few months ago, Drew was telling us, our 10-year-old, he was saying he wanted to play baseball. And we're like, oh, yeah, we'll get you signed up for it. And so we kept asking, yeah, we'll get you signed up for it. And the backstory is we missed the sign-up last year, so he didn't get to play last year either. And so we finally went down to sign him up, and they're like, oh, the sign-up ended last week. And so we're like, okay, is there any way, you know, you're pulling out your wallet. Is there anything we can do here? You know, no. And they're like, we'll put you on a waiting list, which really means you have no chance at all of ever getting on the team, right? And so he missed baseball again this year for the second year in a row. And so honestly, as a parent, I felt pretty guilty about that. Can I be honest? Because your mind starts running through this, what if he was going to be like a professional baseball player and I just messed up the rest of his life? You know, what if he could have been a millionaire and he could have put us in a really good nursing home and we just messed it all up? I mean, Jennifer and I, we felt guilty. But you know what? He played soccer in the spring. He's doing soccer camp, basketball camp. He's on the swim team. We're running ourselves ragged. He really didn't need to play baseball. And honestly, he's 10 years old. He's not going to play in the major league baseball. I can tell you that already. I'm just be really honest. There's very few people from Galax that will ever be in the major league. So honest, right? And there may be a few. There's very few that even make it to college and play sports. But what we put so much pressure on ourselves, we feel like we're going to mess up their life if we miss one simple opportunity for them. And I tell you what guilt does. It makes you second guess all your choices. It makes us look at everybody else and compare ourselves. Well, their kids are doing this, this, and this, and this. And if I'm going to be a good parent, I got to do this, this, and this, and this. They've got a computer and a laptop and all the electronics and an iPod and a smartphone. And my kid's 10 years old. They need that too. So, I mean, that's the type of guilt that we fall into when we start making decisions based on guilt rather than what is best for our children and for our families. Do you see the problem there? Let me just kind of, Gary Smalley wrote a book and I had my sermon titled this, and Jennifer made me change it. So I had the sermon titled Great Parents, Lousy Lovers. And he wrote a book called that. It's really good. And this is what he said. He said, you might be a guilt-prone parent if you skip a date night because the kids are crying for you to stay at home. See, a lot of the problems with, and he goes, I'll tell you some more here, but a lot of the problems with guiltiness is we feel guilt for spending time with each other as husband and wife because you're like, oh man, my kids need me. He says you might be a guilt-prone parent if you go on a date but you call home from the driveway right after you leave. You might be a guilt-prone parent if you bring home gifts for the kids after the date or you promise them you'll do something special with them the next day for neglecting them. Or you might be a guilt-prone parent if you ask your kids permission to go somewhere. Can I go? Can mommy or daddy go? Can we leave? Is it all right? Okay. Oh, it's not? Okay, we'll stay. Okay, that's a guilt-prone parent where you feel like you're constantly, you have to make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. I promise. So I'll do this for you. And that is guilt speaking to us. That's guilt forcing us to make decisions. And I want to challenge you, stop apologizing and start leading your family. Let's be honest. As parents, we have to make decisions. We have to do things sometimes that our kids don't like. And we can't feel guilty about that because we know what is best. And we need to help them. And when you make mistakes, and you will make mistakes, it's all right to apologize for that. But you don't have to walk around feeling guilt that you've messed up the rest of their life. And I think that's what I see so many parents do. They constantly beat themselves up. Second type of parents is a permissive parent. This is the fun one. All right. These are the parents who are supporting, who are encouraging, who are loving, but yet they have an inability to set or enforce rules for their kids. And I think one of the major reasons so many parents fall into this trap is that they're afraid if you are strict, you're going to mess up your kids. All right. If I'm too strict, they're not going to like me as a parent. I want them to like me. I want to be their friend and I want them to respect me. And so I don't want to be too strict. And so this means, you know, you might be a permissive parent if you have ever said, oh, it's okay, you can stay up late. I know you like this TV show. And you just do whatever you want. You might be a permissive parent if you said, oh, you didn't hear me ask you to come to dinner. That's all right. Just sit down. I don't want you to have a cold dinner. I'll reheat it for you. You may be a permissive parent if you say, okay, don't make me count. I've already counted to 500, but I'm going to give you five more chances. And I'll just be honest. Why do we count anyway? What you're telling your kids is you have five more seconds to disobey before you really have to listen to me. It's delayed obedience is disobedience, right? I mean, and we do all these things as parents sometimes, and it results in children who have control over their parents. Children who are in the driver's seat and who can play the parents against each other, who at the drop of the hat, they'll cry to get their way or they'll throw a temper tantrum to get their way. And what it does, it creates children who are insecure because they don't have anybody stable that can hold them up and that they can lean on. And I just want to challenge you. You know, if you're a permissive parent, don't fall into that trap of every time something happens to your child, blaming it on somebody else. It's so bad. And the educators in this room, I know you will tell us, the teachers, and you have experienced parents who, it doesn't matter what their child has done, it's either another kid's fault or it's their teacher's fault. The parent will be at your door saying, well, they just had a better teacher, or their friend did this, or their friend made them do it. And a permissive parent never makes their child take responsibility for their actions because it's always someone else's fault. They're always grumpy, sleepy, tired, hungry. Throw whatever the adjective. There's always a reason for their misbehavior. And so there's never any consequences for their disobedience. And I honestly, sometimes some parents are too loving and too sweet to be good parents. And you forget that your job is not to be their friend, but to be their parent. Okay? So we've got guilty, we've got permissive. The third one is controlling parents. These are the parents who struggle with this idea, this definition that I've shared, that you're teaching and training your kids to leave, or you're to launch them out into the mission of God. These are the parents who feel like they have to hover right over their children and bail them out of any trouble they get into. We at that youth camp, one of the main speakers, he was telling a story about growing up, and he was like 17 years old. He said he was working for the Christian Chicken Company, Chick-fil-A, and he was he got into a habit of kind of helping his friends out and giving them free chicken. Okay. The manager found out about it. So guess what the manager did? He fired him. All right. He's like, you don't do that. You're fired. And so here's this kid. He went home. He did the walk of shame home, told his mom that he just got fired from the Christian Chicken Company. And his mom's like, okay, get in the car. We're going back over there. And he's like, what? You know what? And so she marches him into the manager's office and says, well, all of his friends were doing it too. You know, he's the only one that was honest. I want you to reinstate him. Okay. And then she wrote, and when he wouldn't put him back his job, she started writing letters to the president of Chick-fil-A trying to get her son hired back on at Chick-fil-A. Okay. That's the picture of a controlling parent. When you won't let your kids handle the messes they make, instead you try to jump in and fix it. And whether it's in the sports or whether it's with their friends, you're right in their business. You're right in the middle of everything that's going on because you don't trust them to be able to handle it. And what you have done, you have taught your kids to be dependent upon you instead of being independent and learn to live by themselves. And you know, the scary thing is, and talking with a lot of grown men, this is not just a problem related to kids. There's a lot of grown men in this church, in this community, everywhere, that their moms still try to control what they do, where they go, what they say, who they spend time with, because they're afraid to let go. They're afraid to cut loose and cut the cord and to let their adult children live on their own. And so that a guilty parent motivates their children by guilt trips, and so what they do, a controlling parent, they try to guilt their children into doing things. Well, if you love me, you would do this. Or why can't I be here? It's motivated by love, but yet it does so much damage. Our job as parents is to instruct our children so that when they become adults, they have a love for God. It's not to teach them to be dependent upon us. And so if you're a controlling parent, you've got to learn to let go. The last type of parent here. Are you seeing yourself in any of these yet? The last type is a busy parent. And this, again, is where I see so many parents fall into this trap. And that's something we struggle with. Because we've got three kids. I've got a 10-year-old, 14-year-old, daughter's getting, 15 and a half. And so we're already at that point where they're all doing different activities, different things. And sometimes you feel like a taxi service, right? You got to get this one here and this one there and this one there. And we got to coordinate calendars. And I'm driving here and I'm doing this. And you get so busy that sometimes you forget your purpose as a parent. Sometimes you forget what you're called to do. And here's something that we've had to learn. If I don't get a hold of my schedule, someone else will. And someone else will set my schedule if I don't set it. And so I want to challenge you. We did a series a while back called Margin. And we talked about margin is the space between your load and your limit. And we get so crazy in our life that we're pushed right to the edge. Which of these terms describe you? Are you frantic or are you balanced? Are you healthy or unhealthy? Are you relaxed or procrastinating? Frustrated or exhausted? Empty or full? Do any of those terms resonate with you? Because busy parents go so fast and have so many activities that they do it all in the name of love, right? They do it all because I love my kids and I want to give them every opportunity. And it's very similar to that guilt-prone parent. But when you don't have margin, what happens is your kids are just, they don't have time to breathe. They don't have time to listen to God's voice. At youth camp this week, I love that camp we went to because it's very similar in philosophy and ministry style to what we do here at Cornerstone. And one of the things they did, they had plenty of times for the kids to kind of pull back from the crowds. To pull back, it wasn't so crazy all the time and activities. And while they had given them a lot of time, they gave them a lot of space to be able to talk and to listen to God. And that's so important. And we don't do that in our families enough, to give ourselves times to truly hear from God. And in a few weeks, our elders are going to be leading us through a series in August about Sabbath, about rest. And I want to encourage you, it's so important that we learn to rest. Our greatest desire for our children, and our greatest desire is simply this, is that our children will love Jesus, that they will love people, and that they will be on mission for His kingdom. That's what parenting is all about. If we raise our kids and they love Jesus, they love others, and they are on mission in His kingdom, then we have been successful as parents. And I know for many of us, it's so easy to fall in the trap to think my job as a parent is to produce a smart, well-adjusted, college-educated, athletic kid. And so, so much of our time goes into athletic training, academic training, social, all the sports and activities and clubs, and we put all of our effort, all of our time into those things. Let me ask you, do you put the same amount of time in your children's spiritual development? Not that those things are bad, but when they replace our ultimate priority, when they replace our ultimate goal, we fail as parents. How are you training? How are you instructing? How are you preparing your children to be launched out, to be used by the kingdom of God? One of the great things about Cornerstone One of the things I love is you see children, you see youth, you see teens serving here at Cornerstone. We don't tell them, you're not old enough, you're not capable enough, you're not gifted enough. We just say, come on, join us. Let's serve together. You see families serving. You see families going on mission trips. You see people coming together and learning how to love Jesus and love others and be on mission together as families. And I just wanted to ask you that question. Are you being intentional with your time? Are you being intentional as a parent? Or do you find yourself feeling guilty, busy? Do you find yourself being controlling or permissive? Do you find yourself falling into those traps? Or do you see yourself leading your family to follow after Jesus? That's our challenge. That's our goal. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we need your help. We live in a world that's full of broken families. We live in a world where we easily get distracted from things that are truly important, from things that truly matter, from things of eternal significance. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask that you strengthen us to be better parents, that you help us to maybe stop doing some things that we are doing now, and maybe to start doing some new things, to learn what it means to live life in a rhythm where we're constantly learning what it means to follow you as a family together. Lord, I pray for the many families that are represented in this place, from the new babies that were being born and dedicated to the young children, to the young adults, to the teenagers. We have seen you work in so many lives here in this place. And we know that this world, it is tough, it is difficult, and that they will face temptation, they will face trials, they will face struggles. And we know that we can only... We have to have you, Jesus. We need you in our life. We need you to guide us, to direct us, to strengthen us, to comfort us. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray you would help us be families that are on mission for God, that we would surrender ourselves to you, that we would be available for you to use, and that you would use us to advance the kingdom here in this community. Lord, we just thank you this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close out this morning, as always, a couple of things I want to kind of challenge you to do. There's communication cards on the seat back in front of you. Maybe there's a prayer request. Maybe there's a commitment you need to make. Whatever it is, don't hesitate to write it down. And secondly, I want to challenge the parents in this room. I know there's people in here. Maybe you have a child who is struggling. Maybe you have a child who is wayward. Maybe you have a child who you're just worried about. Or maybe you have a child that just needs prayer. Maybe as a parent, you just say, God, I need your help. This is hard. I didn't realize kind of what I got myself into, but I need your help. The altar is going to be open all around this stage. If you just want to come and kneel to spend some time with your Heavenly Father, just to feel His arms wrap around you and say, it's going to be okay, that I've got this. Just trust me and walk with me. I want to challenge you to do that. As always, I'm over at the side. If you want to learn more about following Jesus, if you've got questions, you've got prayer requests, come talk to me. But let's all stand, let's worship, and let's respond as God leads you.
God, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place today. God, we pray that you will be with us all throughout this week, God, that you would be with all of our children, our marriages. I pray that you will just take hold of anything that's going on in our lives, God. We thank you so much for all your many blessings. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.